Hello and welcome to the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberties, Current Affairs Podcast, focusing on Central Asia. I'm Mohammed Tahir, the host of the Majlis Podcast and Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberties Media Manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. The decision by a remote court in Kazakhstan this week was a huge relief for a small community of Kazakh migrants from Xinjiang who are trying to build a new life in Kazakhstan away from Chinese persecution. The ruling was about two ethnic Kazakh men from China's Xinjiang region who faced extradition to China for illegally crossing the border. For now, they will remain in Kazakhstan. This trial also reminded us a similar court hearing just 1 week ago of another ethnic Kazakh man from Xinjiang and, of course, the court hearing back in 2018 of Sayargul Saitbay was a headline story for months. As persecution of ethnic Turkic communities in China continues, Kazakhstan remains to be a natural destination for ethnic Kazakhs to escape the crackdown. But these high-profile cases also tell us once they are in Kazakhstan, the transition is far from being a smooth ride. So today we are here to discuss what happens when those people arrive in Kazakhstan. To discuss all these, I'm joined by Serikjan Bilash, the founder of Atajurt Advocacy Group, which is objective is to defend the rights of persecuted community of ethnic Kazakhs in China. Daniel Khusanov, co-founder of Karaman Human Rights Initiative. Agarim Tolyukhan, journalist with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberties Kazakh Service, Radio Azatik. Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberties Central Asia Blog, Kishlak Awazi. Thank you, colleagues, for joining us today. So let's start with the latest court ruling involving Kaster Musa Khan and Muragar Alimoglu. So they will not be deported to China, which is a relief. So tell us about the circumstances surrounding his hearing, how he ended up there.
Well, so far when we covered the news, they said that they illegally crossed the border and they walked with bare legs and in cold. And after it was in the east of Kazakhstan, and they had with them only a bottle of water and piece of bread, which was frozen. And in the end, they reached the destination and they said that they were sick for about 3 months or so. But these two ethnic Kazakhs, Kaster Musakhanoglu and Muragar Alimoglu, they have received a lot of public support in Kazakhstan. Right. Because we have seen a number of protests demanding to not deport these Kazakhs back to China in different cities of Kazakhstan. And there were one person pickets and different rallies as well. This was a high profile case, I think, because this was a case when the security services, I think, were involved before the court decision was announced. They said that these two guys will be deported to China, although the court was still ongoing, and this would violate international commitments of Kazakhstan if they would deport them to these refugees back to the country where they come from.
Daniel, I have seen a couple of tweets from your organization, Kahraman Human Rights Initiative. The way these two gentlemen ended up in court, is the all the other cases so far that we have seen, is it a similar pattern the way the process works?
So yes, recently we can see that Kazakh courts decide not to deport the ethnic Kazakh from China back to China to face ill treatment and tortures. But still, we can see that once they arrive in Kazakhstan, they're all sentenced to a few months in pretrial detention. And for example, with these two guys, Kaster and Muragar, they will have to remain in the prison colony for 5 months and 24 days, which is completely illegal because Kazakhstan has signed the UN Convention on Refugees. And since these two guys came to Kazakhstan escaping from prosecution in China, they had the right to seek asylum and protection from the authorities of Kazakhstan, of course.
Definitely, we are going to talk about this, how the process works. But first, let me bring Serikjan, you here. Yeah, these two men, Kaster and Muragar. And then earlier last week, we had another case, similar court hearing involving, what was that, Tilak Tabarak. Yeah, Tilak Tabarak. So the outcome was very similar to this. So when people comes from China to Kazakhstan, what happens then? I mean, they just cross the border and then what?
It has never happened before until Chinese government began to arrest Kazakhs and building everywhere the so-called re-education center before. But after that, the Kazakhs began to cross the border illegally. And our other Kazakh human rights organizations, and we accepted six of them. The first is Saira Gulsautbay. After she arrested by Kazakh national security, and his brother-in-law called me next day, and he said everything why Saira Gulsautbay crossed the border. So next people is Kansha Akan, also come to our Atatürk Kazakh Human Rights Organization and said she crossed the border illegally. After then, said the person, you know, Kaster Musakan and Musakanulu and Muragir Alimulu, both of them crossed the border. After then, called the Atatürk, and next day, Atatürk held one press conference and write the letters to Immigration Police Bureau and required the asylum seeker documents. And the fourth Kazakhs, everybody know that also one Bagashar Malik. Bagashar Malik is a fifth Kazakh. And his court is also remained, and he could stay at Kazakhstan because the national security said, because his wife and the three children, all of them are Kazakhstan citizens, and the Bagashar is living secretly in Kazakhstan almost 2 years, and his case we all cancelled, and he will get easily Kazakhstan passport. And the sixth Kazakh is Tilek Tabarak. Tilek Tabarak's case is very easy and very special cases than Kaster Musakan or Muragir Alim or Saira Gulsautbay or Kaysha Akan, because his parents, all of them already immigrated from China to Kazakhstan and already get Kazakhstan citizenship. And the Tilek already get Kazakhstan green card, and he already write the appeal to our immigration police to get Kazakhstan citizenship. And the first fact is it is very important that Tilek Tabarak already canceled his Chinese citizenships, and he has that document before he crossing China legally and crossing back illegally to Kazakhstan. He already translated this document and to Kazakh and through notarial and give this document to the immigration police. It means Tilek Tabarak is not Chinese citizen because he already canceled his Chinese citizenship. And in Chinese language, it is called the Hu Ku Dengji. In consulate, it is Zhu Xiao Hu Ku Dengji. It means they have one big documentation called the household registration in English. Right. And they did it. So Tilek Tabarak is not a citizen of China, and he is not a citizen of any country in the world, but he get only one document called the green card from Kazakhstan. So he could stay at Kazakhstan legally, I think. And after then, court gave him a very light sentence that he could stay in jail only 15 days.
Mm-hmm. You know, the six cases that you mentioned, Serikjan, as far as I understand from your comments, so as soon as they crossed the border, they called Atatürk. So their cases are handled by the Atatürk. So at what stage authorities gets involved in their cases?
And it is against humanity and against our international agreement, the Geneva agreement, arresting these people, because in Geneva agreement convention everything was right well, and Kazakhstan signed the on it, and these people is they went to get asylum. And they have them has the document that refugee asylum seeker documents. In that situation, they has right to release from court immediately or get asylum documents. But even Saira Gulsautbay, the first person who crossed the border illegally, she didn't get asylum documents from Kazakhstan government. It means Kazakhstan government can't recognize the concentration camps in Xinjiang, China, because our government is so close to Beijing. And
of course, there are lots of fault lines the way cases of these asylum seekers are dealt in Kazakhstan. Time permitting, we would like to touch all of them. So, Bruce, here we have at least six clear-cut cases. I mentioned a couple of names, and Serikjan brought in a number of other cases. So we have at least six documented cases about whom the Kazakh authorities have issued official court rulings. So speaking about these cases and the way they are handled, what are the similarities and differences, and what kind of trends do you see when they are compared?
The similarities are that they all cross the border illegally, of course, at least according to the Kazakh authorities, because they wanted to escape from the repression in China. Mm. The differences seem to be, I'm sure there's a lot, but the main difference seems to be who actually has family with Kazakh citizenship, living in Kazakhstan, and those who don't. That's where the court has a little bit more seems to have a little bit more flexibility in deciding that much faster who gets to stay right away or who ends up being detained and kept in jail for a little while before they're let loose. And of course, in the case of Sara Gul, her status inside Kazakhstan, even when she wasn't being detained, was kind of limbo. More or less, you could see that Kazakh authorities were hoping that some other government would take them, and eventually she did get to go to Sweden. But they're reluctant to give asylum status. Why? Because if you give someone asylum status, that's admitting that they're persecuted at home. And they face possibility of torture, imprisonment, something unfairly. If you return them back home, no, that would be an admission that the Chinese government is implementing repressive policies and illegally detaining people and torturing them and abusing them in their own country, which is a step the Kazakh government doesn't want to take.
Right, right. Also, I don't know legally what to call these asylum seekers. I have said migrants, some say refugees, but whatever we call them, they are the ethnic Kazakhs who fled repression in China and seeking asylum in Kazakhstan. So before I go to Aykrim and Daniyar on this, one more point, Serikjan. Now, we are kind of talking about these six people whose cases got media's attention, but I assume they are not the only ethnic Kazakhs who fled China in seeking asylum in Kazakhstan. Since your organization Atajurt works with these people, tell us, please, what's the real number we are talking about here?
And one of the famous journalists in Kazakhstan called Dr. Jakas published the one post a few months ago, and he said that 28 Kazakhs deported back to China last year, 2019. And he's a very famous journalist, and I believe this information, but we don't know how could he get that information. And I believe that the Kazakhs who crossed the border illegally, it must be more than 6%. And all of them, maybe only two kind of situation. Maybe they just living at Kazakhstan illegally, or they already arrested or sentenced, already arrested or deported back. Because 2 years ago, while we were traveling to the East Kazakhstan province, we visited every village, every township, because we went to collect the information about re-education camps in Xinjiang, and we made the video testimonies from the people who lost their loved ones in re-education camps. And at that moment, the ethnic Kazakhs who living in East Kazakhstan told us that there are so many Kazakhs in the village of East Kazakhstan province will disappear suddenly. Nobody knows why they disappeared. And after that, they get information that the Chinese government will pay for our black hands people, or the criminal groups, or our bureaucracy, policemen, or national securities pay for them. Every Kazakh more than 10,000 and requires them deport to back China, and somebody, maybe some criminal groups working like that, and arrest these people's security and deport them security and get money from Chinese side.
Aykrim, is your reporting confirms what Serikjan is saying about the deportation of these people through illegal channels?
I have heard unconfirmed reports that there were some 24 Kazakhs who were deported back, but this is unconfirmed information, and I believe that it is definitely more than 6 Kazakhs who illegally crossed the border, because Kazakhstan is so close to China and there are so many ethnic Kazakhs living in Xinjiang. And there are many people who may cross the border illegally, but they haven't gone publicly. They're still waiting, and maybe they're trying to negotiate with authorities behind the scenes without involving the press. Because some of these cases of these 6 Kazakhs, some of them waited for a few years even before going public. And as you may know, Kastyar and Murager, when they did this press conference and invited journalists, they were arrested by security services right after this press conference. So we don't know the exact amount of people, but I'm sure that some of them still keep silence and waiting maybe for the authorities to negotiate and give them citizenship without involving public.
Yes, coming up with the concrete number is a difficult question, especially when you are talking about the type of threat people are faced for making themselves known to the authorities. But regardless of the number, they are the constant headlines coming out from Kazakhstan lately. So let's move on. Daniel, your organization, Kahraman Human Rights Initiative, has been campaigning for the rights of these asylum seekers. So once their cases reach to the courtrooms, then what happens? How it proceeds from there? Do they have lawyers, and are they comfortable with the type of defense they get in the hearings? So please walk us through this process.
To be honest, we're not working with lawyers in cases of ethnic Kazakhs. I think it's the work of Atajur. They contact all the lawyers, and they work closely with the lawyers.
I can tell you briefly about the procedure.
Sure, yeah, Agrim, yeah, go ahead.
I have been talking to more than 100 of ethnic Kazakhs from Xinjiang. And so far, some of the lawyers, they work for free just to help these ethnic Kazakhs get their documents in Kazakhstan. And it depends on the case. If they crossed illegally, then, of course, there are some lawyers who work with internal ministry and security services to find out where they crossed the border, what was the procedure. Maybe there was some bribe involved, so they're investigating these cases. And in some cases, when people cross legally and they're just worried that they may be deported back to China as they're still Chinese citizens, I believe that most of the people just prefer not to be noticeable, don't talk to press a lot about what they have experienced in Xinjiang. But in general, the procedures when you come to Kazakhstan, you contact these international organizations or local human rights organizations like Atajur, like International Legal Initiative, or some lawyers who are involved in migration issues, and they help you to write this paper where you ask for either asylum or for citizenship, and then you explain the situation if you have some of the relatives who are already Kazakh citizens, or if you have already this residence permit in Kazakhstan, then this may ease the procedure. For example, with the case of Kaisha Akan, she didn't have the stamps on her passport that she crossed the border as she crossed it illegally through Horgos. In her case, it was a bit more complicated, and I know that there was some investigation involved to understand how exactly this happened. And in general, most of the lawyers would work for free just because they know the situation and they just want to help these Kazakhs to get some legal status in Kazakhstan.
Now there are two different...
There are no free lawyer in Kazakhstan. Yes, they're working freely. Yes, they're costing time and energy on these cases. That's the six Kazakh who crossed the border illegally. All of the lawyers is, most of them, we paid for them. And the most expensive thing is that buying air ticket. For example, for the two person, Kaster Musakan and the Muragir Alam, their lawyer called Lazat Ahadva. She is a very good lady and a good lawyer in Kazakhstan. And she worked to our Atajur freely, absolutely freely. But she's staying at our capital, Nur Sultan, and our case is in Zaysan. Zaysan is a very small town, is near to China. And the lawyer Lazat Ahadva had to fly from our capital to Uskemen. And after that, she had to catch taxi, and it is 500 kilometers and from the Uskemen to Zaysan. And our Atajur, costed more than 2 million tenge about Kaster Musakan and Muragir Alim's case. 2 million tenge, it is almost $6,000. And about the court, we sent three former detainees from re-education camps in Xinjiang, China, and the court also invited Begzat Maksutkan, and all of them we paid for their ticket and we also caught more than $1,000. And for example, the Teletabarak's lawyer, Abdullah Bakbergen, he worked for us freely, and we didn't pay even 1 cent to Mr. Abdullah. And another court, for example, Mrs. Sayra Gusalpay's case, the first lawyer is Abzal Kuspan. He said that he working for us freely, and he buy the air ticket freely, but arranging the cars, arranging taxis, hotels, sending people and accepting people. And after that, he also get money from Sayragul's husband, and it is not free. And all things is organized by Atajurt. In Kazakhstan, there are so many human rights organizations. But about the escapers, or about the people who crossed the border illegally, most of them are afraid to broke something or broke some law. So I always made the announcement that Atajurt is never thinks the Chinese re-education things is private things. So everybody or any kind of organization could involve this and could help these people. But unfortunately, there are a few intelligent persons, a few journalists, even no one local TV, no one local website or newspaper reported about this re-education center and especially the governmental TV or radios.
Okay.
And only some a little bloggers, a little social media reported it. That's our situation in Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So Serikchan touched upon a very important topic involving the lack of reporting by local media in Kazakhstan about the so-called re-education camps in China. That aside, do they report the court hearings involving ethnic Kazakhs who are already in Kazakhstan seeking asylum?
Local media is controlled by our government. So many journalists who are working for the local TV or radio or websites, I asked them questioned them 3 years ago, why don't you report about it? Mm-hmm. And they said, we received the order from our boss and it is forbidden. Mm-hmm. No one TV reported about it. Even we invite them thousands of times. Sometimes some, there have one local TV, is called the KTK or City One. They reported that 2 years ago, sometimes we held one big conference, but most of some time, 99% of time, times they never report, and sometimes they held our conference recording video but never report about it.
Serikchan, thank you very much. Your point on media coverage of this issue in Kazakhstan, I don't have any statistics to share, either to refute or confirm your points, but let me get Daniel and Aygrim's point on this. So Serikchan is certainly not happy about the type of coverage this issue is getting in Kazakhstan by local media. So what is your impression if they are not forthcoming and paying attention to this, which is by now a very much international story? So what could be some of the possible reasons behind it? Who wants to jump in?
Okay, Daniel, go first.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Thanks. Well, I just wanted to say that about a year ago, when I first started reporting about this, there was indeed lack of coverage from local media about this issue. And also, the Atajurt organization was located right in the heart of Almaty. There were very small amount of journalists from local media who would come to the press conferences of Atajurt. And I have covered this Xinjiang issue for international media. And then I guess that's how it works. When international media, something is published about Kazakhstan, then local media can write about it, referencing international media. And like right now, I have noticed there is much more coverage of the Xinjiang issue from the local media. There are some independent local media covering this and not so independent. I have noticed that journalists go and interview these people who were in the camps, who were in Xinjiang, and it's just getting more attention. And Kazakhs know what is going on in Xinjiang with ethnic Kazakhs. And we have seen a number of protests, not only in Kazakhstan to support ethnic Kazakhs in Xinjiang, but also all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's changing now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my source of information is our own Kazakh service, and they are very much up to speed on this. Now, Daniel, this was about the media's interest or lack thereof on this case. So what about the public interest in the plight of ethnic Kazakhs who have come from China? I see you guys are active, at least on social media, talking about this. But what about the general public?
I think it's getting more and more interest among our people, and we can see that since especially this September, maybe more and more people are going to protest against deportation of ethnic Kazakhs to China, against Chinese expansion. I think all these topics are linked together, and especially because now we have access to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, to the works of Atajurt, and we can see that this problem is not just imaginative, it's a real problem. And these ethnic Kazakhs are at risk of being deported to Xinjiang. That's why I think more, and we can see that especially during the last court of Kaster and Muragir, I saw about maybe several dozens of people who came from different cities of Kazakhstan to support them.
One also needs to keep in mind that Kazakh authorities too are in a difficult situation here. So on one hand, they feel this responsibility to take care of their brothers, sisters who are really going through tough times in Xinjiang. But on the other hand, you have this big neighbor, China, major partner. It must be really a tricky balancing act that they have to go through. But people who have already crossed the border, either legally or illegally, now that they are in Kazakhstan. So what awaits for them in long term? How long Kazakhstan keep handling these cases the way it has been doing so far? Let's continue the Majlis podcast talking about these and many other questions very shortly. But before that, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis podcast, I'm joined by Serikjan Bilash, founder of Atajurt Advocacy Group, and Daniel Khasenov, co-founder of Kahraman Human Rights Initiative, Aygerim Tolyukhan, journalist with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Kazakh service, Radio Azatik, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlak Awazi. I'm Mohamed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager for Southern Central Asia here in Washington, D.C., and we are discussing the plight of persecuted ethnic Kazakhs from China once they escape the country and arrive into Kazakhstan. So, Bruce, let me bring you in here. So, yes, as we were talking about earlier, Kazakh authorities are also in a strange situation here. So far, the authorities have been resisting Chinese demands to deport, at least in the case of these six people. But they are walking on a really tight roof, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, without a doubt. And you know, a moment ago you mentioned that they're in a hard place with, you know, trying to deal with this and figure out what to do about their own people. That's my recollection when citizens of Kazakhstan who were, you know, what they call Oroman, they had Kazakh citizenship and they went back to China and then they started disappearing. The Kazakh authorities didn't want to talk about it very much. It really was groups like Atajurt that brought this up and then caught the interest of foreign media and put the Kazakh government in a position where they really had to start responding to this a little more publicly than they had. So I think they were very reluctant to even pay any attention to it and certainly not to comment on it at first. Now they have to do something about it. Of course, you know, the big problem, as you mentioned, is what does happen to the people that get into the country? Well, if they have family members, then, you know, I suppose you can get the citizenship process. But, you know, for the ones that might not have family members, this is going to be problematic. I mean, what will be the status of some of these people when they're admittedly short jail terms come to an end? You know, we mentioned that in the case of Sara Gul, she was fortunate that Sweden took her. But what happens if that doesn't happen? That's one of the big problems. And another one, I think, that's coming, and you can see it. We've talked about the fact that there's surely more than six.
Yeah.
Now, if word gets out that this is, you know, if you can get to Kazakhstan, you're ethnic Kazakh, you can get away from this stuff in Xinjiang, then there's going to be a lot more people coming. And what will the Kazakh government's policy be on that? What happens when it's hundreds of people or thousands? Potentially, you know, because this is the only sanctuary these people have. If they stay in China, they run huge risks. there's really nowhere else for them to go. And you're right, the Kazakh government has a problem. You know, I think they should just fall back on the UN agreements, on something like this, and say that we can't send these people back because they say that they're unsafe if we send them back. And, there's other governments that have said, the U.S. government is one that says that they're aware of the fact there's these camps in China and that there is this kind of discrimination.
It looks like, Bruce, at least in the last case, the case of Kaster and the other, what was their name?
Muragir.
Yeah. In that case, the judge said that if they are deported to China, they could face persecution. But I don't know what was the resolution in the previous cases, but what is thinking behind when they are given let's say 1 year, 6 month prison term? What's going on through the minds of authorities when they decide in terms of these short-term kind of rulings?
Like I said, I think they're hoping that the same thing happens with these people that happened with Saira Gul. And in the case of only, if you're only talking about a few people, that's absolutely possible. I would be willing to bet that there are going to be countries that will offer asylum to these people, European countries that will say, yes, we'll take them because there's only a few. What happens when there's a lot more? That's going to be the question. What happens when it's dozens of people? Are they still going to be able to find homes somewhere, or countries that will take them in? This process can't go on forever. And so far, the Kazakh government's been pretty fortunate that they've been able to get out of this. But I don't think time is on their side. They're going to have a set policy about what happens when ethnic Kazakhs show up illegally in Kazakhstan. They're going to need to say that this is what happens when these people show up and make that known to the people of the country and other governments.
I agree more. Maybe Serikjan can jump in here, but very briefly. Now, on a related question, of course, there has to be a legal procedure of some sort to deal with these types of cases. So other than these six cases, what about the rest? Have they been getting citizenship or some sort of documents? I'm talking especially about the ones who arrived in recent months to Kazakhstan.
Yes, they're getting citizenship. I have talked to a number of people who actually gave a very exposing and revealing interviews to international media, but they were given citizenship, and now they're building their new life in Kazakhstan. And regarding this problem that Kazakhstan might face in the future, I think their strategy will be not to make it public. There may be some court cases that haven't gone to the journalists, or these people, ethnic Kazakhs, didn't go publicly and tell about their story of escaping. So, and also, I just wanted to say that although they didn't seem to be doing anything in public, there were actually cases when high-level diplomats were involved and they were talking with Chinese diplomats to release certain people, or they issued some emergency documents for those people who had Kazakh green cards to be able to leave China, and etc., etc. So they are doing what they can, but try not to make it too public so that there won't be a lot of discussion, because that will be definitely a problem and China will be angry as well. So this is a difficult situation, but behind the scenes, we can see that these people who have fled Xinjiang or who came to Kazakhstan legally, they are getting citizenship. Definitely. I know two cases.
Okay, so you are saying these people are ultimately getting citizenships in Kazakhstan. So on another related question, in some cases we heard China asking for the deportation of these people. Saira Gul was the prominent among them. And if judges' comments are taken into account in the case of Kaster in Muragir last week, these two were also tried with the deportation in mind. But at the end, judges decided not to go for it, citing danger of repression should they are sent to China. So I guess my question is, as far as I can tell, there has not been any consequences for Kazakhstan for not deporting these people, right?
But China didn't ask them to extradite them openly.
China did or did not?
Did not.
No, Chinese government did. I get that information from national securities, because Atajot is, we have so many unknown guests who call themselves as working for the higher level of national securities or prisoner offices last year before they arrested me or kidnapped me. And all of them said that they get the pressure from Chinese side openly. And also one of the officials, the higher official, said to me privately that Chinese government asked Kazakhstan government deport Mr. Serikjan Bilash six times. And he said it to me secretly. Even Mr. Serizan Bilez, who already get Kazakhstan citizenship so many years ago, Chinese government also required to deport me to China. And even Mr. Saira will fall by because the 20th February 2019, I published the one breaking news to our YouTube and Facebook. And I said, I get secret information from Beijing, one of the famous journalists, Western journalists who working at Beijing, and he gets that information from his friend who located in Xinjiang and said that Kazakhstan will deport Saira Gül soon to Xinjiang. And I published it soon, and next day Saira Gül's husband and Saira Gül visited our office, and Saira Gül's husband said he also gets that information because all of Saira Gül's husband's relatives, family members, or Saira Gül's family members, all of them gathered, and the Chinese government teaches them Saira Gül will come back to China soon, and they will give them Chinese passport, and as just like Mrs. Saira Gül, we all get back all her words which said about re-education camps and recognize there's a mistake, or some people pressured her to say it like that. And after that, Mrs. Saira Gül will easily going back to China and the Kazakhstan, just like the bridge of two countries' friendship. So after that, after 30 days, National Security arrested me in one hotel in Almaty, and the National Security, one of the famous staff, said to me, your crime is... you said that secret information about Saira Gül, and your crime is you changed the Saira Gül's lawyer. So, any Kazakhs, also even Kaisha Akan, next second woman who escaped from China, she also said to me that secret information that Chinese government now prepared so many documents that Mrs. Kaisha Akan is stole money from government and she has a big loan, and after that she escaped. Right. Chinese government required Kazakh government return her to China.
Right, right. Serikjan, personally, are you afraid of being deported to China? What goes through your mind when you hear stories like that?
I'm afraid every day. I'm afraid because I'm a very common people. I'm not hero.
What are you afraid of?
I want to... deporting is two kinds, kidnapping maybe. Never happened official deportation because I already got Kazakhstan citizenship so many years ago, and it is impossible. But there are only one way stopping us, because our government want to stop our activities, not only mine and all the others' activities.
No, the pressure is very clear there. The fact that you were taken into custody already tells us a lot about how difficult is it to defend people who are in a difficult situation in Kazakhstan. So, you know, earlier Bruce kind of hinted, but I need to also wrap up the discussion here very quickly. But just one or maybe two last points here. So apart from these six high-profile cases, imagining that there are thousands of other ethnic Kazakhs who have already come and who don't have any status yet. So how they live, how they survive in Kazakhstan? Can they get employment? Can they work somewhere?
Can I jump in?
Sure.
If these people have a Kazakh residence permit or Alman documents, they are allowed to work officially in Kazakhstan, and they also are eligible for free health care, the same as Kazakhstan citizens. And in general, if they have this Oralman document, they should have no problem to live and work in Kazakhstan. But for some of them, their documents are expired, or their Kazakh visas are expired in their Chinese passports, or their Chinese passports are expired. And that's when the problems come in. But far, what I know from people who come from Xinjiang, many of them face a very difficult financial situation. They are forced to change houses to find a cheaper one. And they don't have much money to even provide food for themselves. And there is like a community help that from ethnic Kazakhs in Xinjiang, I believe, that they collect money and help for those in need. And that's how it works. But the majority, they're struggling financially, unfortunately.
Okay, in short term, yes, they managed to escape Xinjiang, that persecution. Either legally or illegally, they came to Kazakhstan, and now they are in Kazakhstan. So what's the long-term plan here? Serikjan, what's their future looks like?
It is so dangerous, nobody knows about it. If the Chinese search power at Kazakhstan pay our national security or immigration police anytime, they will arrest these guys who are staying at Kazakhstan illegally and deport them. Because it has happened and published in our local websites, one of the Kazakhs deported by our local policemen by the requirement of the Chinese police. It is already published and it has happened in Kazakhstan. So just like people 1 year ago, Kyrgyz people said that the Kyrgyz who from China and the who's from China and living in Kyrgyzstan, the Kyrgyz, the criminal groups arrest them and send them to China. One Kyrgyz, it is cost $7,000 and one Uyghur cost $5,000. And this unconfirmed information said to me by Kyrgyz people, because we recorded more than 20 or around 30 testimony video from Kyrgyzstan, because they lost their loved ones in Xinjiang, China, because they have one Kyzylsu, Kyrgyz Autonomous Prefecture in Xinjiang.
Mm-hmm. That's very chilling. So what you are saying is some criminal groups in Kyrgyzstan are deporting Uyghurs or ethnic Kyrgyz from China who are already in the country in exchange for money by Chinese authorities. So I guess we will come back to this topic soon again. I see there is a lot to talk about on China's growing influence machine in the region and the involvement of these criminal groups as Chinese proxies. But let's end the debate with a final note from you, Bruce and Daniel. So here's the deal. These people, many of them are undocumented. They are in a limbo situation in Kazakhstan. And on the other hand, Kazakh authorities are also in a tough spot. And given the situation in Xinjiang, a number of people asking for shelter in countries like Kazakhstan only to grow going forward. So what is the best solution for Kazakhstan to handle this situation?
I think the Kazakh authorities will somehow change the procedures of getting temporary residence permit and then permanent residence permits. So in order to avoid granting them political asylum, they will somehow grant them residence permit. And then after some years, Kazakhstani citizenship. I think it's the most convenient way for them, maybe the safest way to balance between China and the United States.
Bruce, what's your thinking on that?
No, I think that's right on the mark. That's exactly what they should do. What I'm afraid is going to happen is that the Chinese and Kazakh governments will reach an agreement that the border has to be much more secure. And they'll probably come to some understanding that if the ethnic Kazakhs are already in Kazakhstan, yes, they get citizenship. But in the meantime, the Chinese and Kazakh border guards will be strengthened, and they'll do everything they can to prevent anybody from coming across the border. I mean, so far, it's not easy, but it's possible. But I think that China will insist that, fine, if you're going to do that, then you have to make it impossible for anyone to cross the border. It's a long border. That'll be tough. But that'll probably be the agreement they come to, which is very unfortunate. But I would imagine that will be the trade-off.
So with this, unfortunately, we have to end the discussion here. Thank you very much, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. And big thanks goes to Serikjan Bilash, the founder of Atajurt Advocacy Group, Daniel Khasenov, co-founder of Kahraman Human Rights Initiative, Aygerim Tolukhan, journalist with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Kazakh service, Radio Azadtik. Thank you very much, colleagues, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And this is from me, Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager for South and Central Asia. Please join us next week. Until then, bye-bye.